The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
And we're back. It is October 18th, second night of a back-to-back away and home for San Jose as they host the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight at 7 o'clock from SAP Center, 6:30 go time. And to talk about everything we have seen from the San Jose Sharks from these first four games of the year, we are going to now be joined by Curtis Pashelka, who of course covers the Sharks for Bay Area News Group. Curtis, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Doing well, Ted. How are you?
I'm doing very well, but I come to you on this Saturday afternoon, as we're now past the noon mark, it's no longer morning, but how concerned should Sharks fans be about this four-game winless start to the season, ballooning into something maybe more akin to what we've seen the last two seasons, where it's taken till last year, you know, the 10th game of the season to get their first win, or the year prior where it did turn into a double-digit winless streak to start the season?
I would be maybe slightly less concerned than maybe the last couple of years. You mentioned the long losing streaks the Sharks had, you know, to start to, you know, 2 years ago and then last year too, and how, you know, frustrating it was, you know, for the team to go through that and for the team's fans to sort of have to experience that. I would say slightly less concerned, if only because, you know, this on paper is a better team than those last two, the teams of the last couple of years. I mean, the veterans they brought in, they've tried to add some depth to the forward group here. They've, you know, I think their defense core, you know, on paper looks a little bit better than it did last year too. And, you know, you figure the goaltending has nowhere to go but up too. So just based on that alone, I would tend to say that, you know, the Sharks are in a better spot than maybe they were in recent years. But, you know, the proof is in the pudding. And the last two games, the results have been, you know, ugly to say the least. And so you got a Penguins team tonight that's, you know, better than maybe some people expected them to be at this year. They've got a couple of young guys making contributions and some older guys who found a youth here. So it's going to be a challenge tonight. If the Sharks can't get it done tonight, then, you know, they start a four-game road trip, and that's always going to be a challenge too whenever you're away from home and, you know, playing some very good teams too. So I don't know. I would say less concerned, but, you know, we'll see what happens here. We'll see how things kind of shake out.
What did you make of the compete level issue that extended from the third period against Carolina beyond the halfway point of that first period against Utah last night, where they just, you know, they had one shot on goal in the third period against Carolina, and then they looked pretty much to carry over that same mentality into the first 10 minutes of that game against Utah, in which they went down 2-0. Ryan Warsawski said afterwards of the slow start, when asked why, he said, "I don't know, you'll have to ask them." I mean, what do you make of that?
Well, it is very concerning. I mean, I would say that for sure. Because yeah, like you said, I mean, they got completely dominated in the second half of that game against Carolina, which is, you know, showing as one of the best teams in the NHL. And you carry that into the Utah game. You have two good days of practice. You get the message from the coaching staff about what needs to happen. You got enough experience in that dressing room where something like that shouldn't happen again, but it does in the first 10 minutes. And they were completely on their heels in that first period. You know, they sort of got things going towards the end of the period there, but, you know, by that time you're already down 2-0 and trying to climb out of the hole. So I would say that was probably surprising to me. I mean, Utah's a good team, but, you know, they're not necessarily cup favorites. And so you got to look at it from that perspective too, is that this is a team that's, yes, it's very good, a lot of skill up front, but, you know, this sort of the mistakes that the Sharks made were kind of self-inflicted. And, you know, how many times can we see that over this, you know, over the course of the, you know, over the last few years, how many times that the Sharks just aren't ready to go right off the hop. So that'll make interesting, you know, tonight's first 10 minutes, very interesting for this team. How do they respond? that they play connected as a team, because that's been an issue too here these last few games. It was alarming, I think I would say, for to see those first 10 minutes. And, you know, they did respond and early in the second. That was good to see for that group. But, you know, these once again just made too many mistakes down the stretch, starting with Yaroslav Askarov, not being able to fully, cleanly handle the puck there, leading to that third goal, which was a real game changer from the Sharks' perspective. So, not too many positives to pull from that last night's game.
With Askarov, he's now given up 13 goals in two games, and I know that we automatically have to acknowledge that the defense in front of him has not been great, but at the same time, it doesn't look like he's the same netminder that we saw a year ago, who started off the year with the Barracuda, came in and was phenomenal, had some great performances where he didn't get a lot of offensive help. I think of that game against Edmonton last year, of which the Sharks ended up losing, I believe, 2-1 or something to that effect, but he was, really showing every reason why they traded those hurdle assets to bring him in, but he just has not looked settled in net so far in the two times we've seen him this year, which is odd because he's still his cool as a cucumber personality when he's speaking with us after the game or any of those type of things. It still seems like he's the, relatively unique individual that he's always been. And he did make some big stops, especially against Utah, where he's doing the splits and showing all that athletic ability. I can't figure out why he doesn't look like himself right now.
Well, you're right. I mean, I think he didn't have the greatest preseason. In a couple of games that he played there, I think it was maybe even three games he played in the preseason, where he just got off to slow starts or didn't always look totally comfortable in the nets. And I think that game against, the game against Anaheim, he kind of, lets a soft one in to start the game, gets better as the game went on. But, last night, I think, the Sharks, a couple of giveaways sort of led to goals against, and he has to sort of find his game as he goes along too. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, last season, any opportunities he got with the Sharks, he definitely looked like a guy, the guy you thought you were getting when traded, like you said, the assets you needed to trade to sort of get him from the Nashville Predators organization. And then, this season it's just been kind of tough for him to sort of find a rhythm. And, I still think that it falls on everybody when you see that. And, Askarov certainly has to take his share of responsibility, but, this defense core for the Sharks is just not really looked very good right off the hop. I mean, they had a good game, I think, against Vegas in the opener, but since then it's kind of been a real adventure when the Sharks are in their own end. And so, that falls on everybody, right? Yaroslav has to take some responsibility there too. But I'm curious to see, when the Sharks get settled defensively, and I think it'll still happen. I think, once these guys get settled and maybe find some consistency with the defense pairs and, find a little bit more chemistry out there, that'll reflect in better performances for the goaltenders. But right now it's a real issue. And, we'll see what Nedeljkovic can do tonight and how Yaroslav kind of responds when the team goes on the road next week.
Do you think we'll see an instance of where one of these guys gets a few games in a row to see if they can develop the rhythm? Or do you think it's back and forth until they see who develops the hot hand?
No, I think Ryan Warsawski wants one of these guys to sort of take the reins here and keep the net for a little bit. If there's a win tonight or a win at the start of the road trip here, it's the games are, I know it's three games in four nights, so one guy's not going to get the whole shot there. But, I think Ryan Rosowski would really like to see one of these guys, just settle things down, sort of establish himself as the lead horse right now. And then just allow things to sort of settle down from there. So, I think the Sharks would like to see one of the goalies to sort of, take the number one job and make a few starts, not necessarily in a row, but just make more of the starts and give this team, some confidence, some badly needed confidence here early in the year.
I know that Ryan Warsawski is going to find himself in an interesting position today, and it was speculated about online on social media afterwards with the third line of Dellandrea, Smith, and Graf being sat down for a little bit. whether or not he's going to choose to sit down Will Smith for a game to give him, you know, pause to think about his game away from the puck in particular. Is Ryan Warsawski in a position to where he can make a point? And I don't say that in the pejorative. I just mean, can he afford to not have one of his best offensive players on the ice in order to send a message when the team is off to an 0-4 start in terms of, you know, wins versus losses? I know they got points in the first two, but it's still, you know, they're losses when all is said and done, and they're trying to avoid what's happened the last few years.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's easy. He takes that, you know, possibility out of the equation. I think that's always going to be a situation where maybe he has to set a Will Smith, or like we saw earlier in the year, a Colin Graf out of the lineup. You know, Shakir Mukhamudulin's another young guy who was scratched a couple of times. I don't know. This is, you know, while the Sharks certainly want to win more games this year, ultimately this is still a development season for some of the younger players. That's probably priority number one for the Sharks organization, is to make sure these guys are developing the right way. Mm-hmm. And if it turns out that, you know, Ryan Warsawski thinks that, you know, Will Smith could benefit by sitting a game, then that's probably what's going to happen. I think last year it was around, you know, midway point of the season, and Will Smith had hit a real rut in his game. He got benched for a period or the second half of one game. I think that was a real message from Ryan Warsawski to Will Smith, that nothing's guaranteed in this league. Ice times, you got to earn it. That was their mantra during training camp, was earn it. And so I think that's sort of a message to Will Smith here tonight. I don't know if it's going to happen tonight. It definitely could. We'll get some more clarity here in a few hours, but I think the Sharks are, you know, don't want to take that possibility out of the equation and just say, okay, Will Smith, you're in the lineup, no questions asked. Like, he's definitely got to earn his way in every night and play ice time, because he was on the, you know, first night of the season, you know, he played 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And his ice time was down to 13 minutes two games later. So that's a situation where I think Ryan Warsawski, you know, wants to hold guys accountable and maybe give guys a night off every so often just to make sure that they're, you know, developing the right way. Because like I said earlier, this season is more about that than, you know, trying to trace a playoff spot, even though they want to win as many games as they can.
Does that, though, jive with what you heard from Hasso Plattner when you spoke with him before game number one, when he said he didn't want the team to be in that lottery discussion? I mean, sure, if they, you know, if they're like the Islanders, I'm sure they'll take that, you know, nice 10-spot jump, but that's not what he was hoping to get this season.
Right. No, exactly. And, you know, I think when I asked Hasso Plattner, when we had that opportunity to talk to him on, before the opening game, you know, whether maybe he didn't necessarily expect the playoffs this year, but he definitely said next year, by this time next, you know, the next season, he wants this team to sort of contend for a playoff spot. So we kind of understood that this wasn't necessarily going to happen this year, but the expectation was that the Sharks would be in a much better position to compete for a playoff spot next season. So I mean, I think, you know, you've got to take sort of the short view and the long view over here with the Sharks, and the big picture aspect is that, you know, maybe if it means, you know, sitting a guy and feeling that it'll help him long term, then that's what you do. If you feel the best thing for him is to throw him right back in there and try to learn from his mistakes, then that's the other thing you can do. So I would kind of see that, you know, there's going to be a message sent to Will Smith and some other young guys here earlier in the year, and you know, if they're not up to snuff, then they might not be in the lineup or get as much ice time as they want.
Are you surprised that Jeff Skinner has kind of come out of the gates as hot as he has? It doesn't look like he's had any trouble adjusting to what the Sharks are trying to do, has found himself in dangerous situations time and time again, and looks like the guy who's, in the past gone for 40 goals.
100%. That's what he is, man. He's a goal scorer, and maybe he's getting some more opportunity with the Sharks this year than maybe he had last season with the Edmonton Oilers and their, you know, and their forward group that they had up there, and they're how deep they were last season. So he's taking this opportunity now. He's kind of run with it. He's a threat whenever he has the puck on his stick in the offensive zone. And you know, there's a reason why he's going to be could finish with 500 goals in it with his career, just because he has that knack, he has that ability that maybe some other guys don't have. So, no, I think he's been a very pleasant surprise for the Sharks this year, and you know, we'll see what happens with him down the line. But I think the Sharks are very happy that they were able to get him in free agency and join this group and try to add some depth up front too.
Macklin Celebrini has 5 points now through 4 games. I think that first game he was still a little bit rusty from his lack of preseason and the ailment that he was dealing with. He's looking more and more like himself. Anything that you've noticed in his game, any changes, anything that's caught your eye?
Well, I think he's just sort of building on what he did last season, you know, and sort of the experience he gained there. He looks to me like a guy who's just really even more on a mission for the Sharks this year to try to get this team to take the next step. You saw in last night's game, he was all over the place, and he was just trying to make plays. And maybe sometimes, he's guilty of maybe trying to do a little bit too much, as we saw, you know, maybe in that overtime against the Ducks, where he tries to make a play in terms of maybe playing it a little bit more safe there. And you know, there's been some other examples of that as well. But the Sharks, you know, I would say, like, I think you need to hit the nail on the head there with what happened maybe at the start of the season and trying to feeling a little bit more comfortable as getting more of a rhythm here as the season goes on, and the more games he plays and the more reps he gets. And now it's a matter of trying to find some stable line mates to play with. I don't know if, you know, we'll see what happens tonight with the Lions. I don't know if Kurashev's going to stay up there or not. If maybe Tyler Toffoli kind of moves back on his wing at some point soon here. I think we'll get an indication of that here later on. But for just by himself, I think Celebrini looks like a player who's taking some strides here in the first few games of the season. And there's a lot of motivation behind that too.
I know a lot of Sharks fans are, you know, freaking out about the start. Is it possible to look at this in a vacuum, independent of what has happened the last few years? Or does it have to be taken in the greater context? Because I hear these arguments of, oh, this is what they did last year. And I'm kind of saying, like, well, yeah, but last year when we looked at those teams, it's a wildly different team with a wildly different amount of, you know, faces and system and whatever you want to say. And then you go back before that, it's a different head coach. You don't have Macklin Celebrini. I guess, I mean, is it too hard to look at in a vacuum, but still needs to be looked at as one season independent of what we've seen previously?
Well, if only because the expectations are a little higher this year. Like, this isn't a tank season for San Jose. I mean, last couple of years, it was what it was. I mean, you know, the Sharks weren't necessarily looking to win a ton of games, or you didn't have the roster necessarily to win a ton of games. But, you know, with the additions they made and, you know, some of the money they spent and some of the younger guys getting a little bit more experience under their belts. I mean, this was a season that, they felt they could improve it. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say they're going to finish in last place again, you know, this season. I think they'll be a little bit better than that. But, you know, to me, it's a situation where, you know, the Sharks are, you know, still kind of finding their way with all these new faces. And not to make excuses, but that probably plays into the why they look a little bit so disconnected in their own zone here these first few games. That, you know, you got a bunch of new faces. You know, they had camp together, but at the same time, that's camp. This is NHL regular season games. The pace is a lot higher, and so it's just I don't see this season turning out exactly like the last two have. I think it'll be a little bit better as things go on here, but you know, this team still has to show it, and they still have the proof is in the pudding with this group here today. Can they kind of, you know, pull out of this malaise and be a team that can compete on a nightly basis, or do they start to feel sorry for themselves and become like a more of a fragile kind of group on a night to night basis? We'll see. And there's a lot of veterans in that room, and we heard all camp, oh yeah, we got a lot of leadership in there. Well, it's time to show it. You know, yeah. It's time to show that this group is different than it has been the last 2 years. And, you know, it starts tonight, obviously, with the you know, big game in front of a big crowd here at SAP Center. And, you know, we'll see what happens there.
Again, that was Curtis Peschelka, Bay Area News Group. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock go time tonight as the Pens visit San Jose. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.